You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Brilli, and today is December 9th, 2019. Welcome back to the podcast, and we are right in the middle of the holiday season. I cannot believe it's December. I cannot believe the year is almost over. This has been an insane year for me, for everybody out there. It's been a very busy one, and it went by very, very fast. Today on the show, we're going to discuss some of those incredible deals from Black Friday, and I don't even know what to say about it, because it was probably, arguably, the best Black Friday for wet shaving stuff I've ever seen. Maybe ever. I mean, honestly, ever. There is every vendor had something going on. It was great. And we'll talk a little bit about that in detail and what that means for the industry. We also have a very, very in-depth and very nice interview, really detailed interview from Mantic 59 with Matt from Razor Emporium. And also he also runs Rex Supply for the Rex Ambassadors and Rex Envoy Razors. Really great interview. I listened to it. It's about 20 minutes long, guys, so it's the majority of the show. But it is well worth it. It's a great one. I was really interested listening to it and enjoyed it. And also, guys, don't forget the Sharpologist Gift Giving Guide is out for 2019. This is something I look for every single year. I like to look at it. Mark's take on the industry and some new stuff to give away. There is only a certain number of days left for the shopping season here. So if you want to get them going, you want to buy some gifts, you're going to have to do it pretty soon. Which reminds me, I have a couple I have to buy myself. And also, what's on your wish list, guys? If you have anything you want to share, or if you got anything this year after the holiday season you want to share with me as well, just also feel free to email me at any time. So, guys, without further delay, let's get on with the show. All right, so Black Friday this year. Wow, wow, and wow. I've been wet shaving since 2010. And I could tell you that there's been years where there hasn't been one thing on sale for Black Friday. I remember when my wife would go out shopping, and at the time was my girlfriend, actually, or my fiance, before we even got married and I started wet shaving. She would go out and buy a bunch of stuff, and I would always look online looking for something wet shaving for Black Friday. And I never saw anything up until recently. But let me tell you, 2019 is a year to go down the history books. This is the year of the best sales I've ever seen from Black Friday. It seemed like everybody had either percentage off on what they were selling, new releases, or something was being given away for free. It was incredible. Free shipping, something. Everybody seemed to have something going on. And it went as for most of the weekend, too. I mean, it was in a pretty intense weekend. I wish I had endless funds because I would have just kept on buying stuff. But I ended up with a few soaps and a new razor myself. And I couldn't believe just some of the pricing. I just wish I knew about this. So I'm going to tell you guys, to be honest, and I know the vendors and the retailers aren't going to be happy with what I say, but save up some extra money for next year's Black Friday. If it's half as good as this year, you're going to be in luck. Save up some of that and then buy some stuff then, because I'm telling you, some of these vendors had up to 30% off. I mean, it's incredible. You can't say no, because you don't see this stuff go on sale very often, you know? It just doesn't go on sale as often as you may think. So that's something that you got to just keep remembering and just keep going for it. You can't really say no to it. So I know that I have bills to pay at home too, and a lot of stuff going on. But next year, I think I'm going to save up a few bucks and I'll wait till Black Friday. I hate to say it. Sorry, retailers. Sorry, vendors. But it was really, really worth it. So I hope you all got something nice for Black Friday. If you have any other deals or something you saw that was incredible, you know, share it with me. I'd love to share it on the show. All right, and that brings us up to our interview with Mantic 59 and Matt from Razor Emporium. So without further ado, let's get on with it.
Hi, Mantic 59 here at the Maggards Meetup with Matt Pisarcik of Rex Supply. Thanks for stopping by, Matt. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Mark.
For those who maybe are listening and don't know really much about you, give me a little background on who you are, how you started shaving, how you got into the business, and that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, I got into wet shaving in like 2005, just looking for a better way. Cartridges were tearing my face up. did a little homework and figured out that there was a whole world outside of cartridges called Double Edge and straight razors. Went out to some antique stores, found a couple of razors, and wondered how to clean them up, and away my journey went. Pretty soon I was buying and selling razors for myself and starting to give them away to friends and family, and people started coming to me for shaving supplies. They were saying, hey, I need a soap, I need some more blades, you know, I got a gift from you, where do I buy them now? And I started saying, well, I can supply you. And that was the beginning of Razor Emporium. After years of buying and selling vintage razors and retailing, you know, modern razors and soaps and brushes, I started to say to myself, you know, retail is really cool, but the future is going to be manufacturing. And I didn't want to just be a retailer. So rather than have a store brand just called Razor Emporium's brand of razors, I thought, let's just come up with a new name, and that'd be my manufacturing company. And we actually did incorporate it as its own separate business, and it's its own entity on paper. And so today I'm here representing Rec Supply Company at the Maggards Meetup. So that was kind of my story in a nutshell.
Wow. I actually kind of learned something a little bit here. Getting back to the Razor Emporium start, so you don't really have a background in restoration or anything like that. This all came organically when you tried to just clean up a razor and
sure.
It ended up as a business?
Absolutely. You know, I've always kind of been a tinkerer. I'm someone who loves to... I was a Lego kid. So I love to tinker and fix stuff, and always working in the garage with my dad. And I think my grandfather really instilled to me that you don't throw anything away. You can always fix something up. Take it apart, put it back together, clean it, whatever. I think I fell in love with the beauty of the Gillette razors and how well they were made. And I was seeing that no one else had a razor even close to the quality some of the Gillette razors made. And it's a shame just because... there's a little bit of pitting or plating loss. It's just garbage now. So I started getting into metal finishing. I was like, okay, what if we strip this down to brass and, you know, get it replated again? And for years, we sent them off to a company to do the actual plating. We did all the disassembly and polishing, and someone else did the plating. And then after 2 or 3 years of doing that, and it was a disaster, it could never keep parts straight or mixing stuff up, I said, I need to figure this out. So I literally... just started reading chemistry books and watching videos and visiting other plating facilities and picking people's brains, and figured out how to build an entire chemical plating lab in my workshop.
Oh my gosh, what's your professional background then?
I have a 4-year degree, a business degree in business marketing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
you were a marketer that decided to become a restorer.
Yeah, I guess so.
I never knew that.
It was out of necessity, right? There's a mother invention, and I just couldn't stand the fact that I had to send it to somebody else, and I thought I could do a better job. And yeah, we do over 100 razors a week now. I mean, it's insane. That wouldn't be possible if we were still just sending them out to other people. There was no way we could scale up like that. So I kept on saying to myself, if we're going to scale, we have to do it ourselves.
I'll be darned. I never knew. Is there a more common or more popular razor that comes to you for restoration?
The number one razor is the Gillette Fatboy that comes in. I mean, we probably get 30 a week easily.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when you think about it, it's probably one of the best Gillette razors made, in the sense that who else makes a butterfly adjustable razor?
They're just now beginning
yes.
to reappear after 50 years?
Right, right. Yeah, I just saw that new Viking. In fact, I picked one up. And I think you did a review recently of some Viking, yeah. I picked one up. I haven't even shaved with it. It just came in 2 days ago in the mail, but you'll see a review soon on our Razor Emporium channel for that.
Okay.
Yeah. But even those, they're very well made, but they still have, you know, zinc and chrome and stuff like that. So it's still not the quality of stamped brass like Gillette.
And was that kind of the inspiration then for you for Rex? Meaning,
absolutely,
you know, get that quality
yes.
workmanship at the same time as the good results,
right? So when I thought of a company name, I wanted to incorporate in the name itself what the mission was, and Rex stands for Revisit Excellence. That's our tagline. That's the company's motto, basically. And so that revisiting of the excellence of the 50s, the 40s, the pinnacle in my mind of razor manufacturing. And so with our first razor, we wanted to really tell people, here we are. And we thought, we could do the three-piece like everyone else is doing. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm not going to do a three-piece for our first razor. We're going to do an adjustable. And really kind of set the bar really high.
Yeah.
So that the Rex Ambassador came out in September of 2017, and it's just been an enormous success, and we are making hundreds of them and can never seem to keep them in stock. Places like Maggard's are a huge account for us. They buy dozens and dozens at a time, so it's been a great success, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I'm one of the first buyers of that Rex Ambassador adjustable.
That's
right. I like it very, very much. And I understand you've come out with a new version of it.
Well, so, yeah, I guess you could say that. In the course of manufacturing anything, there's going to be efficiencies that are found just in the course of doing it a couple times, you know. And we do a production run of 250 at a time. And every time we make them, we try to see if there's anything we can do differently. You know, talk to the machinist. Hey, how do those parts turn out? Or what difficulties were you running into? And listen to customer feedback. And we've made some minor refinements. Mostly have to do with the machining process and the parts. Like, for instance, the razor that you bought in 2017 has a thinner guard than the razor that's out now. And not by much. We're talking 0.8 of an inch versus like 0.92 of an inch. It's not a huge difference, but that small amount made it easier to manufacture. We were getting deflection. We were getting the actual guard would start getting bent with too much pressure from the milling bits on it. So by making it a little bit thicker, okay, now we can have less rejects, basically. So we've made little improvements and stuff, but if you shave with the ones from the first production runs and you shave with the ones now, they shave nearly identical. So it wasn't about the shave performance.
I see.
It was just about machining efficiencies.
And this is, I would consider, a premium razor. Yeah, this is not on the level of that Vikings adjustable.
No, it's also not made in China.
Well, that's true. What led you to use... I believe it's all stainless
steel,
even the head, correct?
Yeah, it's a whole thing stainless.
Yeah, was that just a conscious decision, even though you know it was going to be a premium-priced razor?
Well, another thing that Rex stands for is Razor Emporium Experience, in my mind. Now, we don't say that anywhere, but in my mind, there's no way I could take 10 years of refinishing razors and not apply that to what I'm doing now with manufacturing. And so I looked at the downfalls of even Gillette, and one of the big downfalls is plating. And so if we were going to go the route of brass, now I'm going to have to worry about refinishing these things in the future. And I said, well, how do we avoid that? And of course, stainless steel has been so popular. I think Icon made stainless steel popular, what, in 2011, 2010?
2012, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, so everyone's been doing stainless, and it's obviously a preferred medium, in my opinion, for razors. There's a reason why hospitals use them for surgical tools. They're not using nickel-plated brass because stainless is so durable. And so, yeah, we wanted to have one of the best razors, and we didn't want to compromise on the quality of it, and that meant stainless steel.
Given the number that have been sold, people are accepting that premium
price.
They are.
And, you know, a lot of the price has to do with just the amount of parts. That razor is 10 parts. You know, eight machine parts and two springs. So compared that to a three-piece razor, that's a third of the amount of pieces, literally, but it's not three times the price. You know, look at Above the Tie or any of these other razors, they're in the $180 range, and it's three pieces. I'm at $249, and it's 10 pieces. Now, my big goal would be to bring it down to $199 retail, which I think we're going to be able to do in the next couple months.
Really?
I've been really pushing hard on my machine shop to get the price down, because it's a relationship between what I pay for it, what it can sell to places like Maggard's for, and then what the customer has to pay for. There's obviously a supply chain in there. And so a small difference in manufacturing will actually equal quite a large difference in the retail price. So he actually just invested $80,000 into new machines just for my razor and new tooling to help speed up the time.
This, of course, is made in the USA as well.
It's made not only in the USA, it's made in Gilbert, Arizona, which is just a stone throw from where we were at the Big Shave. It's a suburb, another suburb just to the east. So I visit the machine shop at least once every 2 weeks, picking up parts, or we'll have a meeting about production or whatever. So that's another big thing, is that it's a local company that I can work with, have the relationship, and oversee quality and oversee production.
I've heard and talked with others who have manufactured razors in the past or are currently doing that, and they all say being able to personally visit the manufacturing facility is extremely important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, without you knowing it, corners are cut. Is that a fair reading on your end as
not,
well?
Yeah, not only corners are cut. I think the big thing is just communication and follow up. Machine shops have a million other jobs going on. They have so many other priorities. Every client wants something from them, and so you know the more you're in their face, literally, you're more of a priority. And I'll comment on something, and I'm not speaking ill by any means. Our good friends at Rockwell and Razor Emporium we retail Rockwell, but they have had a lot of difficulties with manufacturing their Model T, and a lot of it, as Gareth told me, was because it was overseas. So every time he wanted to, you know, follow up on something or visit, he had to now fly to China just to go follow up, and that gets expensive, and it gets. I can't think of all the lost in translation things that are going to happen too. So I think there's something to be said about local.
Yeah, very much so. Okay. Yeah. Well, what's next for Razor Emporium and Rex?
Well, Razor Emporium we just started making some shaving soap, and we had it at Big Shave. We bought a bunch of equipment, and I said, well, I don't want to play the artisan game and do a flavor every week, but I want to have some signature soaps we're making ourselves and a couple, you know, different scents. We're doing that. And for Rex, we just released the stand for the Ambassador. So it's a nice, it's not an inkwell. It actually has it's a big base, and it has a little peg. And then since the Ambassador is hollow, it can go right over the peg and stand on your, it's right out here in display. And we brought a couple with us too. But really what's next is going to be a three-piece razor. So we wanted to come out, you know, the door charging and say, hey, here we are. We're Rex. We're doing something very different. But at the same time, I want to be able to have a razor that is more simple because not everyone wants an adjustable. And I also want a razor that's more budget-friendly because I understand that $250 is a lot of money for a lot of people. And
sure.
So I would like to have a three-piece razor probably in the 129 to maybe 150. I really still want it to be very, very budget friendly, and that is something we've been prototyping for a couple months now, and we hope to release it maybe the next probably next quarter we'll release it.
The trend for three piece razors now seems to be offering different base plates.
Right.
Will you do that as well?
I haven't even given it any thought. You know, one, I see that, but I almost think that the Ambassador is a answer to that, that you don't need. If you want adjustable, go with the Ambassador, because it's adjustable on the fly versus taking it apart. I really do like I think Rockwell, I compliment them highly for their flippable. That, to me, is great. Now, back in the day, Gibbs, which was a major inspiration for the Ambassador, obviously, Gibbs had one with two different sides, and they had a little plus sign and a minus sign. And so on just one guard without flipping, there was two different aggression levels. And Icon, I think, even did something like that. That's one direction we maybe could go. I don't know. The base plate thing, I just think it's so clumsy. And again, I'm not knocking it. We saw a lot of the 6S. But to me, once you find the plate you like, what do you do with the other ones? So I don't know. I maybe we'll do something where you can send back the ones you don't want, and then maybe that's how we get the price down, you know, versus just keep these extra ones around. We'll see. I haven't made a decision on that. The other thing I've been doing is I ask everyone what they like about the Ambassador, what number they like it on. Like, for instance, what's your favorite setting on the Ambassador?
2.5.
2.5. And 2.5 to about 4 is really what I hear everyone say. I guess it's the bell curve. Everyone's mostly in the middle. There's people who only are on 1 or 2, and people at 5 or 6. But it's almost all like me. I'm 2.5 or 3. You're 2.5. My other buddies, you know, 3 or 4. So I always ask customers. So we may try to make our three piece be right in that sweet spot, and maybe we don't even need to have it with different base plates. So we'll see. I haven't made a decision about that yet.
Okay. Where do you see the wet shaving business going from your perspective? Are you seeing more of the enthusiast coming on, or are you seeing more of the regular consumer discovering wet shaving? From your perspective, what's your desire to see the market grow?
Well, in order to make the market grow, we have to make it more accessible and to the average guy. And accessible means price, ease of use. Not so many confusing options. You know, if you talk to the average person who's new in this, it can be extremely overwhelming. I remember I was into Double Edge for a year or two, and then I decided to go to a straight razor, and that, even as an insider, looked so insurmountable. And I still to this day, I think it's ridiculous how many different choices of straight razors and strops and stones and different pastes and compounds. It's just, it's so many options. I don't think straight razors will ever get to the popularity of the double edges, just because double edges is so much easier. And going from a cartridge, it's just a hop and a skip away. So we needed to have it more accessible. We need to have more things, honestly, at the retail stores, the big boxes. And I'm so happy to see Vanderhagen and other brands. Even though they may not be the best razor, they're a little red pill that kind of gets people down the rabbit hole of learning about double edge. And if they buy the Weishi or the Vanderhagen, they'll probably end up buying a Mercur or an Edwin Janger or whatever else after that. I also commend people like Rockwell. I think they're doing an amazing job with their 2C and their 6S at a great price point to help get people in, and attractive packaging, and a lot of stores that pick them up. I think there's also a life cycle that happens with a customer. I think they get in and they experiment, and they usually go in one of two directions. They're either going to get really enthusiastic and end up with 50 soaps in their bathroom and 20 brushes, or they're like my brother, his brother, me, owns Razor Emporium, yet he only has one razor, the one razor I gave him for Christmas 10 years ago, a Gillette Fat Boy. And he still uses it. And whenever he needs blades, he doesn't go on Badger and Blade and ask about Voskhod and Astros. He just says, hey, Matt, can I get some more blades? I think they're the feathers. That's what you gave me. So there's people who are just utilitarian wet shavers, and they're never going to post on Facebook. They're never going to post on Badger and Blade, but they are still doing it. And so I think that the wet shaving market is actually quite large. We don't even see how big it is because we don't see them in our face every day. I think we need to also break down some barriers and not be so, eating your young, whatever the phrase is. I think that, especially on these groups, I mean, you and I both have had trouble in different chat groups over the years. So cliquish and so petty.
A lot of drama.
It's like, people, we're here to shave. If I want drama, I'll watch a soap opera. So I think we need to chill out and enjoy it and accept people more and tell your friends. I think that's the number one thing we could all do. You know, give the gift of shaving. When the next someone's birthday comes around or Christmas, give someone a double-edged razor and a cheap brush and a pack of blades and let them explore it. And, you know, the more people we get into it, the more the market's going to have to listen. And I think we're seeing people like Gillette having to listen to us. The fact that they have dramatically reduced their cartridge prices, and they have this new, what is it called? Help me out.
Skin guard.
Thank you.
With two blades.
Right. Yeah. That's a direct answer to our market. And I know that not by hearsay. I've been told that by my contact at Procter & Gamble. They're watching very closely what's happening in our market. They thought that the art of shaving was kind of their way of holding down the wet shaving world and saying, well, if you want luxury, here's art of shaving. And I kept on telling them, people are not doing this for luxury. That may be one of the reasons, but people are doing it because it feels better. It's more enjoyable. You know, it's cheaper in some cases. Of course, we tell our wives that. It's not really. But yeah, I think that the market's definitely listening, and we'll see. I hope we see more things like Harry's and more things that are at least threatening the old guard. I think that Gillette and Schick have had it really good since the cartridge came out. They've not had the competition. Because if you look back, as a razor enthusiast, I can tell you, 20s, 30s, 40s, there were dozens and dozens of companies all fighting for the market. And they had so many different blades and handle makers and gizmos and a triangle-shaped razor and oscillating blader. I mean, there's so many razor companies. And now it's like, nope, it's black or white, red or blue. You have two choices, Schick or Gillette. And I'm kind of a fight the power kind of guy. And I like that a double edge is kind of a rogue way to go, and it's getting bigger. The resistance is getting bigger.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And best of luck to you here at Maggard's, and I hope to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
Mark.
All right. Wasn't that an incredible interview, guys? I was just really not only impressed with the work of Razor Emporium and how much they've done in the razor world and just being able to restore vintage razors, but also with the Rex and how that came out and how they machine and how everything's done really close to the house and how involved they are in the process and involved in actually changing it. It's really pleasant to see that the customer feedback doesn't go unnoticed and they actually really take it seriously. So. Really impressed with that operation. I'd love to go see Razor Emporium someday, when I or Rex Supply, both of them together. I know that he mentioned in the interview they're two separate entities, but still under the same roof, I think, for the most part. So I'd like to go visit them someday in Arizona once I can get out that part of the country. I'm sure it's, if you are there, hit them up because it looks like a really cool place to visit. And they have got some great products as well. I actually just recently purchased the Envoy, a three-piece razor. I know I'm pretty vocal about saying I'm not really into adjustable razors as much as I am to three-piece razors when it comes to safety razors. But when I saw the Envoy come out, I was like, I got to pick one of these up. This looks pretty cool. So I went and pre-ordered it and got one. Hopefully it'll be here soon in the mail, and I can I'll have a full review for it as soon as I'm done playing with it, basically. All right, guys. So moving along, the Sharpologist Holiday Gift Giving Guide is out. I left a note for the link in the show notes for you guys to read. Take a look at it for the gift giving ideas. Some great new products. Every year, this guide gets a little bit bigger. I know it's because there's more vendors, there's more products, there's more stuff coming out. So check it out, and really, you know, let us know your thoughts and see what's going on. Mark will be updating that as the year goes along, as stuff comes out before the Christmas holiday. So check it out, guys. That's always one of my favorite articles to read every year. I look forward to it at the end of the year and just really enjoy looking at the gift guides and seeing what I can get or this year or give or what I could tell my wife to buy me. But another thing is after listening to Matt's interview with Matt and Mark's interview, you know, it really shows you how the classic wet shaving. I've been one to say, hey, I don't think it's that as big as we think it is, but I think I'm going to have to admit I'm wrong because I think it's a lot bigger than I think it is, and I think it's getting larger. And just by, you know, these new razor companies coming out and Gillette coming out with a safety razor for the American market, it just shows that it is making an impact. And what's funny is 5 years ago, 6 years ago, how many razor makers were there out there that made safety razors, right? There's always been a few straight razor makers. We know that. You know, custom straight razors have been around for a lot longer, I think, personally. You know, Maestro's been doing them for years. A couple other, you know, Lewis has been doing them for years as well. They've been around for a while. Very pricey, but they are hand-worked pieces of art. So, I mean, you really can't say much about that. I mean, they are. You're truly getting a custom piece. But I remember when I first started in 2010, there were none, really, of custom safety razors being made. It was all you buy either a big company like, you know, Mercure or Icon or something like that, or you're buying, you know, vintage Gillettes or vintage razors. And you had the Weber come out, we had Tradire come out, which is now making its comeback with Blackwell razors. You know, Wolfman came out, all these other small companies came out. Now there's probably maybe 20 of them razor makers now out there. You have Carbon Shaving that just came out. You know, you have Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements making razors. You have a lot of people making razors that are on the smaller level, right? And they're selling them, obviously, because they wouldn't be in business if they didn't. So it just really shows that I think, personally, up until this year, I always said, you know, I don't think it's that big yet. I don't think it's getting that big. I think we still have some time. I think I'm wrong. I think we are bigger than I thought we were and continue to grow. So, guys, keep it up. Keep spreading the word. It's been so much fun playing with these razors and stuff like that. There will be a time when your collections get to full and you can't go buy anymore, or you're content. Kind of where I am right now with my collection. I just have so much stuff I've collected over the years. It's just I'm looking around. I'm like, how much? It's got to really impress me to purchase it because I have a lot of stuff. You know, and that happens to collectors, I think. You go through a few stages. You go through the buy everything stage. Then you go through the content stage. And then everybody says after that, you go through the sell everything stage. You're going to sell it and only get that your collection down to a very small amount, maybe five or six razors, four or five brushes, whatever that takes. A lot of people do that too. I'm not at that stage yet. I don't know if I ever will be. But if it does happen, I'm sure I'll go through another stage where I'll get more stuff. So, all right. So, guys, really happy to be talking to you on this beautiful December day here in South Florida. I know a lot of you are going through some snow. I'm going through some 60-degree weather, so we're all in our boots and our sweatshirts and coats, winter coats down here, which tends to happen if you've ever been to South Florida in the winter. But really, guys, stay safe this holiday season, and just remember that it's all about some good shaves and just some good experiences out there. Don't worry if you can't shave, if you get busy at work. I know a lot of, I'm a retail manager, I know. Don't worry if you have to skip it and you might have to use a cartridge razor in there. Don't feel like you're missing out on anything. You're not. Just keep up the good work. And remember that our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Wanted to shout out to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, for everything he does in the wet shaving world. And most of all, you guys, the listeners, without you, there wouldn't be any podcast. All right, guys, so the next show will be on the 22nd of December. And we'll talk about a few things about the year, and we'll also go into some vintage Gillette pictures again, or vintage shaving pictures. Last year, that was really successful. I'm going to post a bunch of those that are for the holidays. Remember, Q4, this time of the year, was the biggest year for the big razor producers back in the past days. So for the companies, they used to focus on selling a lot this time of the year, so they did a lot of advertising. I'll have some of those old advertisement pictures on the next cast. So until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.